The Youth's Instructor, September 30, 1897. Christ Declaring His Mission, Part 2. Jesus had spoken of the most distinguished and brightest intellects, men who had longed to have the privilege of sitting at His feet and learning of Him. Then, turning to His disciples, He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." There was a necessity for all these words, or the Son of God would never have spoken them. After His resurrection and ascension to heaven, His disciples were surprised and self-condemned that they had not better understood and appreciated them. And what remorse must have filled the hearts of His relatives as they reviewed their unbelief in Christ as the world's Redeemer, the Son of God. How must they have reproached themselves that they had laid any stumbling block in the way, and that they had so often grieved His soul by their unbelief and harsh reproaches. In the crowds that daily listened to the words of Jesus, many were ready to see in Him the very Christ. Others who were convicted that He was the Son of God, and who had no disposition to persecute Him, dared not acknowledge Him, for the tide of prejudice ran high, and they themselves were leavened with this spirit. The claims of Jesus did not answer their proud expectations, and as though satisfied with the ground on which they stood, they said, "Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." But Christ declared, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." The spiritual and eternal things they did not discern, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Christ's words, asserting His mission from the Father, and His claim to have a knowledge of God, presenting in strong contrast the ignorance of the Jewish leaders, so maddened the Pharisees and rulers that they determined to lay hold on Him. But they could not accomplish their purpose, for His time to leave the world and go unto His Father had not yet come. There was a restraint upon these rulers. They did not dare to do the things they longed to do, for divinity flashed through humanity as He spoke to the people, giving to them the jewels of truth that had been hidden for ages. They were conscious of a fear, a reverence and awe which they could not themselves define. No man laid hands on Him because His hour was not yet come. Many in that crowd called to mind the miracles of Christ, which they themselves had witnessed, and one or two had the courage to express the feelings of the multitude, saying, "When Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Jealousy and prejudice raged in the hearts of the Pharisees when they heard the people speak thus openly in His favor, and they commissioned officers to arrest Him. But Jesus knew the errand of these men, and in words of deep solemnity, He declared that His movements were not under the control of men. He pointed to His work that was still in the future. "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come." As the officers listened to the words of Christ, they became intensely interested. In their eagerness to hear all he said, they pressed close within the circle that had gathered around him. They saw divinity flash through humanity, and their hearts were touched by the Spirit of God. They could not reach forth their hands and lay them upon such a man. The truths that Christ there uttered were as seed sown upon good ground that brought forth an abundant harvest when he was no longer among them.